Continuing today in our sermon series, which we started last Sunday, called Seek the Welfare. And today's sermon title is all about being doers of the word, which ties in nicely to our scripture this morning from James. But before we turn and read our scripture this morning, would you join me in a word of prayer? God, thank you for the witness of scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, help us to understand what we find. And help us likewise, Lord, to live it out. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So our scripture again this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Beginning in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, right off the bat this morning, I've got to admit my prejudice to you because James is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. It tells you what you should be doing and what's wrong with you if you're not. And it reminds us time and time again that faith without works is dead. In a world as complicated and messy as ours, it's good to receive clear, simple instruction from God's word. But at the same time, we've got to admit that living out God's word is easier than it sounds. Because if being doers of the word was easy, then we probably wouldn't be talking about it this morning. Sadly, there's a big disconnect between Christians who claim to have faith and those who actually live it out. So as we continue in our sermon series today and consider what it means to seek the welfare of others, we've got to evaluate whether we really believe the things we say we believe and what impact those beliefs have on our actions. Because the people in our community, they don't need our empty words. They don't need our platitudes and pious prayers. They need us to put our faith into action. They need us to not only be hearers of God's word, but doers as well. So as we reflect on today's scripture out of James chapter 1, it's good to begin by better understanding the context, what James is saying here and why. Now, James wrote this book somewhere between 60 and 100 AD in order to educate the early church on the responsibilities of the Christian life. And that purpose continues to speak to us today as we consider what it means to live our lives as followers of Christ. Now, unlike many of the other books and letters that we find throughout the New Testament, James wasn't written to a particular church or a specific group of people. Rather, James wrote this book for a very broad Christian audience, which is why we're able to identify so easily with it today. And since James assumed that the people reading these words were already Christians, he doesn't waste any time with a long preamble or a detailed discourse on the basic tenets of our faith. Instead, James jumps right in and begins teaching on the importance of embracing our faith and letting it transform not only our thoughts but our actions as well. So as this book opens, James acknowledges that having faith isn't easy. This is something that the early church knew all too well because of the difficulties that they faced. And because of those, many Christians struggled to keep the faith when times got tough. But in spite of that, James told them to hang on and keep on believing no matter what. As we hear in verses 2 through 3 here in chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In these opening words, James is offering some much needed encouragement, but he's also sharing a hard truth. And that hard truth is this: a faith that you barely cling to in good times will be unable to save you in bad times. You see, in order to persevere, you've got to hold on to something real, something that you believe in with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. And for us as Christians, that thing is our faith, but not just any faith. Throughout this book, James stresses time and time again that a weak, surface-level faith that hasn't taken root in our souls and borne its fruit through our actions is really no faith at all. It's just a mask or a costume that we wear which obscures our true identity. While these harsh tones might rub some people the wrong way, James isn't afraid to get in our face and tell it like it is. He doesn't pull any punches. Rather, he hits hard, he hits fast, and he does so in order to get our attention and to remind us to take what he's saying seriously. And what he's saying is this: stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself by saying that you're something when you're really not. Stop saying you believe this when you really don't. James is saying, if you really believe the things you say you believe and are who you say you are, then your life and your actions will back it up. After this opening reality check, James leads us to the heart of today's scripture, beginning in verse 19, where he says this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So James starts here by talking about something that other Christian writers during this time also emphasized, which is the danger of human anger. Already, James has been emphasizing the need for patience, and anger is one of those things that happens when patience runs out. And I think we all know what it's like to be angry at times, don't we? After all, our world is constantly pushing us to our limits, and sometimes we just can't take it anymore. Maybe you do too, but when I look at our world today, it seems as though we're living in the age of rage, where our leaders and influencers are competing to be the loudest, angriest voice in the room. And they're doing so because they've been led to believe that anger produces results. And yes, it certainly does, but not the right kind of results. As James tells us, when we rush to embrace anger at the expense of patience, we're not able to produce the righteousness that God desires. You see, the way that God works in us and through us isn't by taking our nasty and malicious behavior and somehow making it okay for us to continue in those ways. Rather, God changes us from the inside out through His Word, which has been planted in us. And when we clear out the weeds and the thorns from our lives that seek to choke out this Word, it has the chance to flourish and to bear fruit. Fruit that blesses our lives and the lives of those around us. Friends, let's be real. Even after we come to faith, we've got to be on guard against our human tendencies, which still try to convince us that God's ways aren't always best. Those are just the weeds and the thorns trying to work their way back into our garden. And we've got to do everything we can to keep them out. Now, at this point, you may be wondering why we're spending so much time talking about anger when we're really supposed to be talking about seeking the welfare of others. Well, I don't know about you, but it's hard to help other people when you're blinded by rage, isn't it? It's hard to seek what's best for your community when you're always looking for something else to be angry about. And it's hard to bear fruits of the Spirit when you're always flying off the handle and your emotions are out of control. If we want to make a positive difference with our outward actions, we must first cultivate an inward peace, and that peace is only possible through repenting of our sins and accepting Christ into our lives as Lord and Savior, and letting His Word take root in our souls. A Word that can change our lives, and the lives of those around us, when we listen to it, and when we do what it says. As we're reminded in verses 22 through 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now here, James uses an interesting illustration to make his point. Because in his day and time, people obviously didn't have photographs. Very few people set to have their portraits painted. And few, if any, had mirrors in their homes. So if you did happen to catch a glimpse of yourself someplace, you might quickly forget what you looked like. And James says that's what it's like for some people when they hear God's word. They take a quick glance, they chew on it for just a little bit, and then poof, it's gone and they're off to something else. These people that James is describing here are the people we know today as nominal Christians. The kind who show up, they go through the motions, but they leave pretty much unmoved and unaffected by what they've heard and experienced. Sure, they might enjoy what they experience in worship or what they get through fellowship with others and Bible study, but they don't allow themselves to experience what they're experiencing to make a real difference in their lives. Clearly, these aren't the kind of people we're supposed to be modeling our lives after. So what can we do to avoid winding up like them? Well, in verse 25, James says this, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Nominal Christians only skim the surface of their faith. They pay so little attention to it that they're left unmoved and unaffected by it. Unlike them, James calls us to be Christians who think deeply about what we believe and why we believe it. And not only that, he calls us to put our beliefs into action. For in doing so, we experience the freedom which comes by faith, and we receive the blessings which come by offering ourselves in service to God's kingdom. After all, when you look into this perfect law, as James calls it, it's supposed to change you. And as we feast on God's word, that word is supposed to move through us, transforming us from the inside out. And when that happens, God's blessings will surely follow, and we'll seek to share those blessings with others. With that invitation and that assurance set before us, James grabs our attention once more with these concluding remarks from verses 26 through 27, where he says this, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In these final words, James wants us to be thinking about what we're sharing with those around us. Are we sharing careless words that create unnecessary burdens for others? Or are we sharing a selfless spirit committed to helping those in need? As we reflect on today's scripture, there's a good chance that our toes are a little sore and our egos are a little bruised, as they should be. Because James isn't here to justify our actions. He isn't here to excuse our behavior. James is here to call us to selfless service in God's kingdom by putting our faith into action. And as we think about how we can seek the welfare of others today by putting our faith into action, there's a couple of three things we need to consider and remember today. The first thing is this. We can never give our best to others if we're not first giving our best to God. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, undoubtedly, these are some of Jesus' most famous words. And they're so familiar to us that we sometimes believe that these two commandments are equal and interchangeable. But they're not. Christ tells us that loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind is the first and greatest commandment. And it's through this first commandment that we're able to fulfill the second, not the other way around. Because how can we really love our neighbors if we don't know what love really is? How can we sacrifice ourselves for other people if we don't know what it's like for someone else to sacrifice themselves for us? Friends, in Christ, we find the greatest love this world's ever known, and through him we can share that amazing love with others. As we hear in 1 John 4, verses 10 through 12, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Try as you might, you can't share God's love if God's love isn't first living in you. So keep your relationship with Christ your first and greatest priority. After all, you can't fill others up if you yourself are running on empty. Second, we've got to get rid of those things which harm our witness. If we want to seek the welfare of our community, we've got to consider whether or not our witness is pointing people to Jesus or pushing them further away. Even though James was writing to other Christians at this time, he knew that they were probably still holding on to some things that they needed to let go of. Things that were adversely affecting their witness to others. I mean, just in today's scripture alone, James talks about the harmful effects of anger and careless words. And as we reflect on that same scripture today, we've got to admit that there are harmful habits, tendencies, and attitudes that are negatively affecting our witness as well. Both individually and collectively as a church, we need to take a step back and take a sober look at ourselves and admit what it is that's holding us back from doing what God's called us to do. And as we do, these holy words from Psalm 51 need to be on our lips. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. The third and final thing we need to remember is this. There comes a time to stop thinking and start doing. Now the linchpin of today's scripture is here in verse 22, which says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Yes, it's important to listen to God's word, but James reminds us that if all we're doing is listening to it and not living it out, then folks, we've completely missed the point. Because God's word always calls us to action. Yes, he wants us to be thoughtful about what we're doing and why. Yes, he wants us to consider the cost of what we're trying to do. But folks, at some point, we've just got to step out of the boat and walk on water. We've got to stop overthinking everything to death and start doing what God's called us to do, even if we don't know how it's all going to turn out. That's where faith, hope, and trust come in after all, am I right? So don't overuse your head at the expense of your heart, your hands, and your feet. Instead, put your step out on faith and seek the welfare of others by putting your faith into action, by being someone who listens and responds to God's holy word. Would you pray with me? God, how grateful we are for your precious and holy word. As we've demonstrated through worship today, Lord, we could not go a day without leaning on your truth and the promises we find in Scripture. But Lord, help us not just to lean on those promises, but to live them out. Help us to be people who not only hear and listen to your word, but people who do what it says. Lord, the world around us needs to experience your love. They need to know that you're real. They need us to put words, they need us to put actions to our words, to step out and to meet them where they are, to love them as they are, and to demonstrate our faith through word and deed. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder today. Help it to convict us in the days ahead so that others may see your faith and your love alive through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.